Did you hear that music? Wow. You'd have to travel far and wide to be able to get music like that in a church. I'll tell you what. And you know what song they were playing? Christ Arose. Did he rise?
Yes, he did.
He has risen.
He's risen indeed.
Wow. Okay, I know we're not ready for Easter. We're almost ready for Thanksgiving. But right? But that's why we're here. Is because Christ arose. Amen?
Amen.
We don't worship. We don't think about. We don't honor a dead spiritual leader. We honor a living Savior. And that's what we're here to be able to do. Well, if you are a guest with us this morning, you don't always get a sermon right at the beginning of the service. Mm-hmm. But I just thought I'd throw that in. And so I'm glad that you are here. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. Hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table, that would be so helpful. Hopefully you also got a bulletin, and hopefully everyone else did too. So open up your bulletin. There's not a whole lot in it, but that's okay. We'll go over some of the things for this week. Right after our morning worship service, we have Sunday school about 11:30-ish. It might start a little bit sooner than that. Depends on how long the preacher goes this morning. And so we'll just kind of play that by ear. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Smoky Mountain Pizza. If you don't know where Smoky Mountain Pizza is, come and talk to me afterwards, and I'll give you directions. And this is open up to anybody who has time to be able to come and join us for lunch at noon on Wednesday. Thursday night, we have Awana and leaders and Awana kids and teens. It's mystery night. So don't come and ask me any questions about it, because I won't tell you, because it's a mystery, right? Okay? Well, there's other information in the bulletin, not a whole lot, but it's important for you to be able to have one. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
Ready to worship?
Yes.
Let's get going.
All right. Would you all stand with me as we get started this morning with Blessed Assurance?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. praising my Savior all the day long. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, no trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. Thank you.
Look at the flowers, in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added, all that I'm needing. I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Oh, everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added, all that I'm needing. I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. The Lord is my shepherd, and He is everything I need. So I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that He loves me, He said that He's with me. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know He has good plans, He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters, He quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better than walking with Him when I believe? He has good plans, He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father as He has good plans, He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So farewell, not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So farewell, not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So farewell, not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father has good plans.
Thank you, Lord, for including us in your good plans. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us alone. Thank you, Lord, for making a bridge between us and you through Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We couldn't say thank you enough. We couldn't say I love you enough. We couldn't say praise your name enough. You're so good, and you have good plans. Oh, God, we love you. We're here for you today to worship and praise you alone, because you're worth it. Every ounce of worship, every breath we breathe. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a song from 1992. You probably know it.
Oh, Lord, you are my guiding light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your ways, they are my heart's delight. I will follow you faithfully. In the darkest night, you shine much brighter. You are the light of the world. When I lose my sight, you are my shepherd. You lead me back to your side. Oh Lord, you are my guiding light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your ways, they are my heart's delight. I will follow you faithfully. In the
darkest night, in the darkest night, you shine much brighter. You are the light of the world. When I lose my sight, you are my shepherd. You lead me back to your side. Oh Lord, you are my guiding light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your ways, they are my heart's delight. I will follow you faithfully. I will follow you faithfully.
Thank you, worship team. As we were singing this last song of praise, God brought some verses to my heart from Psalm 119. I want to take a moment and just read those to you. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Have we been singing about that this morning? Can we live that starting this morning? Who also does no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a person keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ways of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your word and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your word. I will not forget your word. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that good? What a great reminder that is. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us in just being reminded through our time of lifting our voices and our hearts in praise of all that we have in God. He leads us. He leads us through his word. And so that's why it's important for us to be what? People of the word. So that he can continue to lead us how he desires. Not how we desire, but how he desires. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. All right, let's pray. Father, the reason why we're here is so that we can know you better. The way that we get to know you better is by paying attention to your word. And not just taking it in through our ears and putting it into our brain, but moving it into our hearts and then moving it into our lives. So that we can live lives that praise you. We can live lives that bring honor and glory to you. We can live lives that please you. And so, Father, I pray that each and every one of us will be able to keep that in mind this morning as now we are going to have your word brought to us. Father, may we just not be hearers, but may we be doers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. And you know, you are such a very observant church family, because some of you have said, wow, Pastor, as we've been talking about thankfulness and gratitude, we've been in Ephesians, we've been in Philippians, we've been in 1 Thessalonians. Now this morning we're going to be in Colossians. You get the picture, right? Paul has a lot to say about gratitude and thankfulness. And through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he's reminding us as believers how our lives need to be about gratitude and about thankfulness. This morning we're going to go a little bit different in thankfulness and talk about appreciation, because one of the things that raises our value as human beings is to be appreciated. It has been said that the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. And you don't have to look very far into our world to see that a lot of people take this to the full end of the spectrum. They not only want to be appreciated, they want to be elevated. They want to be celebrated. They want to be recognized as something that maybe they're really not. But you know what? All of us have this craving to be appreciated. And Paul understood this. And so through the Holy Spirit, Paul captures the action of appreciation so well from a biblical viewpoint. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you. Now, he's writing this to a church full of believers who in that church in Corinth had some real problems. Okay, this was not an easy church for Paul to be able to minister in, for Paul to be able to think about. But what does he say? I give thanks to my God always for you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Again, he's writing to a church. He's writing to believers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, we always thank God for you. Again, writing to a church. Writing to believers. Philemon, verse 4. Paul says, I thank my God for you when I remember you in my prayers. He's writing to a fellow believer. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, had a way of being able to, when he starts his letter to these churches, of being able to say, I appreciate you. I give thanks for you. And I don't know if you've ever really studied the prayers of Paul, but if you study the prayers of Paul, it's interesting, because you're going to find out very quickly that Paul doesn't pray for other believers for their physical needs. He prays that they will enjoy all that God has given to them as believers in what Jesus did for them on the cross. He prays prayers not of physical needs, but their spiritual needs. It is so amazing. And I would encourage you to be able to take some time and to be able to do that, to read through the letters and read through what Paul has written about how he prays and what he prays for other believers. And it may even change the way that you pray, especially for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, God wants believers to be appreciative, and he wants us to be an encouragement to others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. That phrase, building up, means encouraging one another. For building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So often we're so quick to insult. We're so quick to offend. We're so quick to make fun of other people. But what does he say? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. Boy, that ought to make a difference in the way that we communicate with one another. So Paul gives us these short instructions to direct our hearts to give the action and attitude of appreciation and encouragement importance. So here's Paul, God's faithful servant, and he's an example of someone whose life was a pattern for gratitude. Hopefully by now you found Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Then follow along as I read these two verses. Therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, so who's he addressing here? Believers. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. There's that phrase, built up, meaning be encouraged. Be encouraged in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in what's the word? Thanksgiving. So God's word gives us the pattern for gratitude, and I want us to look at that pattern because it's important for us to stick to the pattern for gratitude. So what is the pattern for gratitude? Well, let's take a look at some of the aspects of this pattern. First, we need to tell God how thankful we are for him. That's part of the pattern. We need to tell God how thankful we are for him. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Who's the psalmist here directing his thankfulness to? Who's he directing his gratitude to? To God. We need to tell God how thankful we are for him. And because these expressions of gratitude were found in David, they can be found in believers through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God desires gratitude from those for whom he has given blessings. And remember, a couple sermons ago, we talked about the fact that we have been given every spiritual blessing by God in the heavenly places through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God has done so much for us, and we need to be grateful to God in sincerity, from a life directed from a heart of gratitude. And this heart of thankfulness, this heart of gratitude, enables us to enjoy God's goodness and prepares our spiritual hearts to be aware of all of the blessings God has given to us. And the reason why he's given us those blessings, not because we deserve them, but because of his grace. It's a way for him to be able to display his grace to us. The spiritual heart that is pleasing to God is displayed like the elderly lady who had been ushered into the private office of President Lincoln. President Lincoln asked, "What can I do for you?" The elderly lady placed a covered basket on the table and said, "Mr. President, I have come here today not to ask any favor for myself or for anyone. I heard that you were fond of cookies, and I came here to bring you this basket of cookies." Tears trickled down the face of the president. He stood speechless for a moment, and then he said, "My good woman, your thoughtful and unselfish deed greatly moves me. Thousands have come into this office since I became president, but you are the first one to come asking no favor for yourself or somebody else." That's a heart of gratitude. We need to bring that heart of gratitude. We need to tell God how thankful we are to him, not because of what he's done for us, but just because we're thankful. And remember, if the only thing that God has given to us is salvation by what Jesus has done on the cross for us and our opportunity to be able to believe in the promise of eternal life, if that's all that God has given us, it would be more than enough. Amen? It'd be more than enough, because none of us deserve that. It's because of his love, it's because of his grace, it's because of his mercy that he did that for us. We need to tell God how thankful we are for him, and we should tell him often. Now, I know that sometimes the songs that the worship team lead us to be able to share in as we have our opportunity in our worship service to be able to lift our voices and our hearts in praise through song to God. Sometimes we walk out of here and we go, "Well, I told God how much I'm thankful for him. I sang every single song. I did my job." No, we need to tell God how thankful we are often, not just within the walls of the sanctuary, but often. And we can do that outside the walls of the sanctuary. What? Really? Yes, we can. Remember, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. We can pray to God anytime, anywhere, about what? Anything. That includes telling him how thankful we are for him. Now, I know you're all theologically astute, and you're all saying, "But Pastor, God knows everything. So doesn't God know how thankful I am?" Yes, he does. But he still wants to hear it. He still wants you to share it. He still wants you to display through communication how grateful and how thankful you are for him and what he chooses to do for you. Because everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you could ever be comes from him. Comes from him. We need to tell God how thankful we are for him, and we should tell him what? Often. Here's the second part of the pattern. We need to develop a heart of thankfulness by being thankful for Jesus. Now, I know you're all going, no, duh, right? But let me just remind you, because we get so hurried, we get so busy, we get so caught up, even when we're here on Sunday morning and our focus needs to be on God, focus needs to be on what Jesus has done for us, that even as we're here and we're singing these praise songs and as we're hearing God's word and as we're interacting with the church, as a church family, we lose sight of what this is really all about. Because it ain't about you. It ain't about the person sitting next to you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus did for us as he went to that cross for us. And once a believer grasps the action and attitude of being thankful to God because of who he is, then we should be thankful for Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. The Greek word inexpressible is the only used here, and it means that words cannot fully explain the greatness of Christ and the giving of his own life sacrificially for us on the cross. What he did for us is inexpressible. Our thankfulness, our gratitude to him, sometimes can't reach that inexpressible. No words can describe the greatness of this gift. You all understand that, right? You all know what your life was like before you came to believe in Jesus as Savior, and you know what your life is now that you believe in Jesus as Savior. What a difference. What a difference. As you came to that place of believing in Jesus as Savior, what a difference God has made in your life. What a difference God has made in my life. And we can be thankful for Jesus because of the display of God's grace that he has brought to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, man, I love those words. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. By what? By you? By your own merit? By your own goodness? By your own work? No. By your own wealth? By your own intelligence? By your own family background? No. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We can be thankful for Jesus because of the display of God's grace that he has been brought to us. And do you see what verse 7 says? Verse 7 says that in the coming ages, that is in eternity, that is when we believe in Jesus as Savior, that's that promise of eternal life. When we are living in that eternal life in his presence forever and ever and ever, we are going to display, we are going to show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We are going to be trophies of God's grace for all of eternity. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, when it describes for us what our eternal state is going to be like, and in that eternal state, as we are living in the dwelling place of God, what that's going to be like, the book of Revelation tells us over and over again that there are going to be things that are going to be in place to remind us that the reason why we are there is not because of us, it's because of him. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Talks about the New Jerusalem. Talks about the New Jerusalem having 12 foundations. Every single one of those foundations are made of a different gem, a different jewel. And each one of those gems, each one of those jewels has a different color. And they are stacked one on top of another. 12 foundations. You get the idea? So that every time we look at those 12 foundations, we're going to see a rainbow. And it's not, we're not going to be reminded of what the rainbow has been meant, has been changed to be in our culture today. We're going to be reminded of what the rainbow that God intended for it to stand for forever and ever and ever. We're going to realize that the reason why we are there is not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us, as God promised all the way back in the Garden of Eden that a Savior was going to come. And he kept his promise. And in his grace, he brought us to the place to where we heard the message of what Jesus has done for us, and we've come to believe in what he did for us. We're going to be reminded of that. The Bible tells us also in the book of Revelation that in this new Jerusalem, there are 12 gates, three gates on every side, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And every single one of these gates are made out of pearl. Guess what? There really are pearly gates. What? I just thought that was a joke. It's no joke. Each one of those gates are made out of pearl. And what's the reason why they're made out of pearl? Well, how's a pearl formed? Pearl is formed through suffering. Little bit of debris, a little bit of sand, a little bit of grit gets inside that oyster, and that oyster can't get rid of it. And so what does? It starts to secrete this mucus, and this mucus covers that piece of debris, and it just keeps covering it, and it just keeps covering it because it can't get rid of it. It just keeps covering it. Layer after layer after layer, and before long, that layer becomes a pearl. Now we consider pearls to be what? Precious. I'm not talking about the fake ones, by the way. I'm talking about the genuine ones, right? Why is it that we will be able to enjoy living and enjoying spending time in that new Jerusalem? It's because of what Jesus did for us. He suffered on that cross for us. He took our sin upon himself on that cross for us. We are there because he suffered. And every time we go in one of those gates, and every time we go out of one of those gates, we're going to be reminded that we are there because Jesus paid for us to be there. He gave his life. What an inexpressible gift that is. There are going to be reminders all throughout heaven to remind us of the grace that God has shown to us. And we're going to know the immeasurable riches of his grace. I can't wait. How about you? Have you ever seen a gate made completely of pearl? I can't wait to see that. Have you ever seen a house with 12 foundations or a city with 12 foundations, each one a different color? Each one a different gem? I've never seen that either. I can't wait to be able to see that. Wow. We enjoy fellowship with God. We enjoy fellowship with God and Jesus, his son, by the direction of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did for us. We need to be thankful for Jesus, don't you think? And the result of this fellowship is that we can live the abundant life promised to us by Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, gives a clear instruction on a practical way to say thanks to Jesus for the sacrifice he made for us. Here's what it says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, believers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Wow. That's part of displaying our gratitude and our thankfulness to Jesus for what he's done for us. We can also express our gratitude by embracing the God-given peace, a peace based in Jesus, placed within us by his Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, are unbelievers justified by faith? No. Are believers justified by faith? Yes. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the peace that the world has given. It's not the peace that you've concocted for your own self. It's peace given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this peace overrides all matters of life and death. This peace enables believers to look forward to our future rewards and keeps us faithful in our spiritual service while we're on this journey to that eternal home promised for us. Here's the third part of the pattern. We need to be thankful for our church family and the blessing they are to us. We need to be thankful for those who share in biblical fellowship with us, who are partners with us in God's ministry as a church, and for the opportunity to encourage one another as a church family. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." We need to be thankful for our church family and the blessing they are to us. Now, I know it's one thing to be able to sit there and to listen to a sermon, and I know it's another thing when you see that sermon lived out. So, church family, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all of you because you are such a blessing to me. You are such an encouragement to me. You are such a support to me. I am so grateful for this church family that God has given me to be a part of, not just as your pastor, but for some of you as friends, for some of you as people who I'm here to be able to help, to be able to share God's word, not just from the pulpit, but even in our everyday conversations, to be here that when you have spiritual questions, to be the one that maybe has an answer. And if I don't have an answer, I'll tell you. I'll say, I'll go figure it out but with God's word and with God's help, and we'll get you the answer that we need. Thank you. Thank you for being the church family to me that you are. And I know I probably don't display that thankfulness enough. I know I probably don't verbalize that thankfulness enough. But every day when I drive to this church, even if I'm just spending time in my office, studying for Bible studies, preparing messages, doing whatever it is that I need to do for God in this facility, I do it for him. But I also do it with you in mind. So that at least maybe you'll see my gratitude to you. My thankfulness to you. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you said to someone in our church family, "I'm thankful for you"? Maybe in these next 2 weeks, as we're getting ready for this thing on Thursday, where we gather together with friends and maybe family and maybe church family, maybe within these next 2 weeks, we all need to make it a point to personally go to the people in our church family and say, "I'm thankful for you. I just want you to know my gratitude for you. Not because they're a leader, not because they're part of the worship team, not because they're up front, but because they're here. Because they're here. Because they sit beside you. They sit in front of you, and maybe they block your view. But you can be thankful of them anyway, right? They sit behind you. Maybe they can't sing as well as you think you can, but you're still thankful for them, right? Because it's not about us singing with good voices. It's about us what? Praising God, praising Jesus for all that we have. Using our voices, using our hearts to be able to show our gratitude to him. And hopefully, once they hear us sing, they'll go, well, I can do that. Right? I tell people all the time, I'm not a good singer. I don't have a good voice. Now, I know some of you think differently, and I'll just let you keep thinking that. But the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I'm a good, joyful noisemaker. And I know some of you even appreciate that about me. And in some small way, you're thankful for that, even though you have to plug your ears. But that's okay. You know, as I was putting the sermon together, I thought, okay, I'm just going to end it there, but God wouldn't let me. Because there's really another side of the coin about being a church family. And God revealed to me that the most miserable believers are those who are involved with a church and have convinced themselves that it's their responsibility to be critical and fault-finding. And the sad news is that they make everyone else miserable in their self-appointed position. And people like this are never thankful for the church family that God has placed around them. Let's not be those. Let's not be those. Let's be thankful for the church family God has brought us and them to be a part of. And these instructions given to us here in Colossians will help us to keep the proper perspective about ourselves and with those in our precious church family. So the pattern for gratitude should be the heartbeat of a spiritually mature believer. And we need to stick to the pattern. So be thankful for who God is. Be thankful for the heart of thankfulness. Be thankful for our church family. And let's learn how to say thanks. Father, I thank you for the fact that you have given us a pattern from your word of what gratitude and thankfulness need to be. Father, first and foremost, we want to say this morning, we are thankful for you. We are thankful for all that you are. We are so thankful for all that you do. You have a purpose and a plan, and even though we may not always understand it, Father, nothing or no one changes your purpose and plan. And Father, for that we are grateful. Father, we want to be thankful for Jesus because he's the one who went to that cross. He's the one who paid that debt of sin that we owed because we couldn't pay it ourselves. He took our sin upon him and he displayed for us as he was on that cross your grace. He demonstrated for us while he was on that cross your love for us. And Father, I want to say that we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us to all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the peace that comes from us believing in what Jesus has done for us. The Holy Spirit guides us as we hear your word and tells us how we need to put it into practice into our lives. And Father, I want to say thankful. Thank you for our church family. I am so thankful for each and everyone. Father, when we look at all of the things that we need to be thankful for, it really shows us how blessed we really are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, would you all stand with me for this last song? And then immediately following this last song, we have a special announcement, so stay tuned for that.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.
Son sets free. Oh, it's free. Has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. Forsaken, I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. Oh, I am who You say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Child of God, yes, I am.